In recent times, many business owners have seized the opportunity to educate and connect with their target market online via webinars. It's been an essential tool for those wanting to keep their business going and growing, especially when you can't physically run face-to-face workshops. But many people are falling into the same trap. Old school death by PowerPoint. I've been doing a lot of webinars via Zoom lately and have been getting lots of positive feedback. I've learned a lot throughout the process and wanted to share my key learnings with you today. So let's jump in and get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you build trustworthy connections with their ideal clients. And I do this through engaging conversational copywriting and strategic advice at right time marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. Now, in today's episode, yes, I am talking all about webinars. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode, so I'm getting back into them. I've just had some amazing guests, so I've been so thankful for that. But I thought this was a really good topic that I wanted to share with you today. Now, it's because like up until about April this year, I'd never actually run a webinar before. I'd done workshops. I'd done some one-on-one chats like through the podcast, like using Zoom, but not actually a webinar. And now I've lost count. It's probably been like 20 or more I've actually done. As mentioned previously, I was meant to run all these workshops on behalf of City of Parramatta Council. And then had to move them online to, you know, keep the money rolling in and keep connecting with people and training them. So it meant stepping out of my comfort zone, but that's something I do fairly regularly these days. So I've gotten used to how that all feels, that anxiety, the uncertainty, and just biting the bullet and doing it anyway. But yes, running webinars has been an extremely effective tool for many reasons, and I'm going to go into those shortly. But first of all, why are webinars an effective marketing tool? Great question, Leanne. So webinars are a great way to showcase your expertise and engage with potential clients. But that's not all. There are many other benefits as well, including just like your blogs, which, you know, I love my blogs. You can create a great piece of content that you can turn into an ebook, multiple social media posts, or expand into an online course. You can also generate warm sales leads, of course, by connecting with people. I get to connect with you as a person. They're also cost effective. And believe it or not, you don't actually need heaps of expensive equipment to get a webinar up and running. You can just run them from home. Software's low cost, like Zoom's $25 per month, thereabouts, just for the basic pro version. And you think of the benefits, and the value is definitely there. It also provides a personalized teaching platform because it's a two-way form of interaction, not like a one-way podcast like this. They also allow you to build trust with potential customers or retain connections with current clients. Because you can, if that's the first time people are really connecting with you, especially if you're unable to meet people face to face, a webinar is a great way for them to really see what you're like, your personality, and see if they want to work with you. And with the current clients, it's a great way to give them that extra value and appreciation by maybe giving them exclusive webinars just for them. Give them some love. I want to address here now is whether the webinar should be paid or free. Now, currently, there's a lot of free content out there. So you might actually find it difficult to charge for a 1 to 2 hour webinar. But going forward, things will probably shift and you can probably start offering low-cost webinars again, like people did in the past. So just like even a $5 token thing, so put some sort of skin into the game, or $27 or something like that. It all comes down to the way you promote it and the value you're offering. Okay, so what type of content should you include in your webinar? If you're doing this for the first time, you may have no idea, but you have so much amazing knowledge in your brain, you probably underestimate what you know and others want to know. But, you know, just going back on the value thing, I really recommend offering as much value as possible during your webinars, okay, whether it's you're charging for it or it's free. Because like in the old school webinar marketing format, the platform was often used for just giving potential customers a teaser of what you offer. So it was a bit, and I'm guilty of this. I tried this once a few years ago. You know, you address the pain points, you get the person on board, but then only lightly touch upon the solutions. It's kind of a bit like, sorry, you're no more than you guts to pay. Okay. And I was listening to a podcast in recent months, and it talked about giving so much value within your free offerings, whether, and this is just talking, you know, ebooks, webinars, any other lead magnet. This is just general advice. You need to give so much value within your free offering that people should feel like they would have been happy to pay for it. And that may seem a bit wrong, but you want them ultimately thinking, whoa, if I can get this type of awesome insight for free, I wonder what I get from the paid offering. So it puts a really sweet taste in their mouth and it makes them interested and want to connect further with you. Rather, on the other hand, like the old school way, make them feel pressured to continue working with you to get results. You've really dug up all those pain points and you've agitated them, and then you've almost made them feel like they have to then sign up if they want to get that solved. But ultimately, you want to make sure everyone is feeling happy at the end. All right, so the type of content, in terms of your knowledge, pick just one key point. And it all comes down to obviously how long you want to talk for. But think of just, it could be like a similar kind of content to a blog, right? It could be 5 ways to the top 10 tips. This is the type of stuff you can give away, but don't ever overwhelm people with how much you share. Try to be as succinct on a particular topic as much as possible. Do a little brainstorm, have a think about all the different things you could talk about. Happy for you to, set up a discovery call with me if you'd like to toss around some ideas, but it can be extremely effective of getting people in that initial door. Okay, now how do you prepare for it? All right, so to begin with, you need to choose your software. So I'm mostly familiar with Zoom, but there's also like GoToWebinar, Webinar Jam, and there's others that work just as well. Ensure you have a working microphone for obvious reasons. You want people to be able to hear what you're saying. A good internet connection. So even hotspot off your phone if you need to, if you are in a dodgy area, because you're just going to frustrate people if it's cutting in and out. Also, make sure you've got speakers, obviously, as in terms of those things connected to computer that you hear from. I mean, you can have guest speakers too. But obviously, you want to be able to hear what other people say. And I encourage you to make it interactive if you can and give people opportunities to speak. I'll go into that a bit more later. And you also need to prepare by having an audience, because no one likes talking to themselves. And I have presented a webinar to one person before. And also I've presented when the interaction has been switched off. So it's just been one way and then the chat box. And I don't really like that. So, you know, the audience can be attracted via a number of ways. It could be by featuring, you know, links to upcoming webinars on your website, emailing your contact list, which I recommend, and of course, spreading the word on social media. You can invest in Facebook ads as well if you'd like to go down that path. I haven't done that yet, but that could be something I'll do in the future. The next thing I want to talk about is using slides. How do you make the most of those PowerPoint slides? And this is, you know, that's what people expect when they do a webinar. You may not want to do slides. Maybe you just want to show objects and then be a little bit different, but people are used to having the slides appear on their screen. Now, I recently attended a webinar on webinars by the amazing Dr. Rich Allen. Hi, Dr. Rich. And it completely opened my mind about how to best use webinars. He's all about education and effectively, you know, getting people to absorb information. I initially saw him when it was about presenting to a live audience and keeping them engaged. And I've used his tips in my workshops. And so I was really interested to hear and see what he had to say about webinars. But he really pinpointed that with webinars, you can only capture someone's attention for like 7 minutes. 7 minutes is all you've really got at a time to keep people engaged before they get distracted by something else going on. Because they usually have the computer in front of them, right? So social media is near them, phones near them. Lots of, or even just Google's near them to search things during the presentation. So if they are learning something new, which you obviously want them to be learning something new with you, they need to be as focused as possible. And based on Rich's tips and prior knowledge, here are some things that I've started doing that I've found to be quite effective. So what he has, and I've started using too, is setting up a little graphic of a TV screen, like an old school TV screen antenna type thing in the top right corner. Make it about, what would it be, not a quarter of the page, or just under a quarter of the page, that top right corner. And you put that graphic there in the same spot on every slide. And if you're wondering why, that is where people can put your face. They minimize the screen and put your face in that spot. Because, and I've found this when I've now tuned into webinars who don't do this, if they have slides where words go all over and images change and you've put the speaker's face on, I mean, unless you've got multiple screens, you put their face in a certain spot, you often have to move it around so you can read the words or see all the pictures properly. And it can be a bit, that can obviously be distracting. So by having that TV screen graphic, you then tell people at the beginning of your webinar what that's for. And you say it's to minimize the photo of the image, the graphic of the speaker, and put that in that corner so you're always there visible throughout the whole presentation. So that's been quite effective. I've been doing that myself. Another tip is to limit the words that you actually have on the slides and limit to one sentence maximum per slide. One sentence maximum and even less if possible. And you probably find this from your own experiences. It's because viewers find it hard to concentrate on what you're saying if they're reading off the screen and taking notes at the same time. Reading off the screen, taking notes, and trying to hear you. It's a lot going on. And if it's all new content, it's too much. So you need to like keep it down to minimal words so then they have to focus on what you say. And that is so much more important. If you do need to feature more words or you have an infographic to display, then you pause and allow them to read what's on the screen before proceeding. You can actually even say, I'd like you to look at this slide right now, and then you explain it once you know they've had enough time to look at it. And this is, well, it's so, I'm going back to, you know, the days at school, you know, and the teacher's written things up on the whiteboard or blackboard, and you're just trying to furiously, you meant to copy it down, and you are copying it down and they are still talking about other stuff, you have not heard any of the things they've said because you're just trying to absorb the words off the screen, off the board. Same thing with PowerPoint. And so I'm really trying. I didn't put a lot of words before, but I'm really limiting how many words. And then break up the slideshow with full screen pictures at times. So sometimes it's no words at all, just full graphic, which would take a second to absorb. That just gives the brain a rest from concentrating on words and absorb everything you've just said. And you can even feature blank screens at times for that same reason, or stop sharing the screen as well. So yes, I found that really, those some really good tips in terms of the slides. So it isn't a death by PowerPoint. And what's interesting as well is that you may need to educate your viewers on what you're about to do. I noticed, I've kind of done this disclaimer now, because I was saying, look, I use limited words and images, so listen to what I'm saying and take notes. The recording will be available. And that's very important too, by the way. Because there was one particular webinar I was running and someone did actually stop me and said, so I just didn't make clear, I should only be seeing right now a computer with the word blog on it and that's it. They're actually like, it threw them that there wasn't a slide full of words. So you may need to educate your audience here because we're so used to this old school way of presenting. Okay, so now you've got your slides, you've got your equipment. The next thing is how to run an engaging session. And as I mentioned earlier, it can be tricky to keep people engaged for those long periods of time. So you want to do everything you can to keep them engaged. So some of the things you can do are, show your true personality. Just like I'm my bubbly personality, I make mistakes, I've spilt tea myself during webinars, I've had a coughing fit, I've sneezed. Whatever, right? It's okay to show who you are and don't be freaked out by how many people have tuned in. Say you've got a massive turnout, it's exactly the same for 100 people than it is for one person. They've joined you for a reason. They want to hear what you have to say. And if you do make mistakes, just, make a joke about it, because it shows you're human and it makes it easier for them to connect with you than if they have you up on this pedestal or some expert they can't relate to. I also like to break the ice by casually chatting with everyone at the beginning. Sometimes it's possible for me to, sign in 5 minutes earlier and then I get things set up and have a little chat. Or even if it's on the dot and usually the first 5 minutes while people are signing in, I am just having a casual chat with people and I just said before, it makes you relatable and likable and, you might even get those brownie points for showing you're human. Now, also what I've started doing, thanks to Dr. Rich Allen's advice, is incorporating thinking music and silence. I actually felt that if I had a 2-hour webinar, registered, It's very different to filling a 2-hour webinar than filling a 2-hour workshop. And I actually fell into the trap of feeling I had to talk nonstop, like basically read off my screen, read off the slides, and only answer questions at the end. So I had to be doing my thing because I heard that was the best way to do it. You don't want to get distracted by the questions popping up. So just say all questions at the end, read through your thing, and then deal with it. But you know what? By doing that, you kind of lose momentum with the questions people ask. And what if they have a question which they're unsure about something? And if you don't answer it to the end, that means they've still got that sense of uncertainty for the whole presentation until you answer it. And really, that's not ideal. So what I've actually started doing is allowing space for the questions. Actually, I have a slide that says questions. Actually allowing that space. And then your brain knows you're switching off, turning over to, the questions. People absorb that module you just covered, and then you can move on. And it's better for everyone. I can also have a drink of water when people are asking their questions. And I like to unmute them. So I keep people muted at the beginning, just while I am talking, then offer them to, unmute themselves to ask a question. and obviously use the chat box as well. It's all about the engaging thing. And, you know, okay, so back onto like the thinking music. So if you have just finished a module or you know that you've had, I mean, while you're trying to keep it as succinct and simple as possible, sometimes there are concepts, you know, people need to take time to digest. So by putting on some thinking music, and it's just a matter of going to share screen and ticking the box of share computer sound, I just go to like Spotify and play some beautiful piano music. I play it by Mabel May, someone I met throughout the networking. I'll put her in the show notes. But I'll just run out here before I forget. And just having that little thinking time, 60 seconds is fine. It's going, I'm now going to play you 60 seconds of music to reflect upon your notes, answer any questions that come up, and then you know they're really absorbing what you have to say. And the same thing, you could just have silence with a countdown timer as well for 60 seconds. I've been in a webinar where they've done that as well. So this is, yeah, it just really helps people to, it helps them absorb it, but also helps you gather your thoughts during that 60 seconds when you're not talking, have a drink, look over what you're about to talk about next, open up the extra windows if you're going to take them through a demo of something. And yeah, it's brilliant. Another thing I've started doing is getting people moving. So obviously, if they've been sitting in front of the computer for 2 hours or maybe not, wait, 2 hours, or it's been half an hour, get them up. And this is another great tip, was to encourage them to go source something like about how you're feeling about the information you absorbed so far or a particular topic you just covered. Get an object that connects to that topic, right? Get them up. Encourage them to leave their room or go to another space in their office or home and bring that object back to the webinar. So give them 2 minutes. And what that does is it turns on a different part of their brain. It's a bit more of a creative thinking side. It wakes up that, they've just been staring at a screen, gets them up and moving, thinking differently. And also it gives you great feedback as presenter on how you're going and how they're absorbing the content. If they then say, this guitar is, represents that this information is music to my ears because now I've now learnt blah, blah, blah. Or, I say, or a tea cup and a coffee or something to say that I'm an alarm clock, that this information has woken me up to new concepts. Or an iron, with this information or that topic, it's ironed out uncertainties. And it's a little bit fun. It gets their mind thinking in a different way. And I found it, been really effective in the sessions that I've done it for. And, of course, the chat box. So I mentioned that a little bit before, but it's a great way for people to ask questions and give you feedback as well as you're going along. So basically I use it at the beginning and say, look, please introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Obviously, if it's B2B, you want to hear about their business. If it's not, just say maybe what their pain point is or what brought them to the session today. And put that in the chat box. And what that does is it warms up people in the room. They get used to using the chat box. But also it gives you an idea of who's in the room so you can adjust your messaging. So I like, for example, if I have an idea of the industries, when I'm giving examples, I can then refer to them in particular. And so they feel like those certain people that got that extra bit of value because I've given an example relevant to them rather than just giving generic examples that relates to no one in the group. So it really helps there too. So yes, definitely encourage questions where you can through the chat box and feedback. And then, and if you are unsure about the question they've said, you can then unmute them and ask them to clarify by speaking out. And on the object thing as well, make sure they are speaking verbally as well. Unmute them. It's just a lot more effective than just sharing in the chat box. And the last thing I want to add is about having breakout rooms. So having a breakout room, which it's a really cool feature. You can get people talking one-on-one or in small groups, depending on how many people tune in, and talking to each other about the content. So just like with the objects, it's allowing them to talk about how they've absorbed the information. The music's also absorbing. Ultimately, when you talk about something, that really locks it into your brain. So by having the opportunity for them to communicate with other people, it could be a brainstorming ideas thing. It could be sharing their learnings. I personally don't tune into these. You can choose if you want to jump in around these. So this is in Zoom. I'm not sure if they do it on the other ones. But, and then they have time. I have time. Sometimes I'm busting to go to the loo at that point, or I really need to have a massive drink of water. And you can just, it, depending on how much time you've got left, is how much time you allow. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But whenever people then come back to the group, I've always said people go, that was really good. Just connect with another person and find out that, you know, they might give them some fresh ideas on everything as well. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk to you about when it comes to webinars. So many other things I can talk about as well, like, you know, the different icons you can do, like putting your hand up and encouraging interaction that way. I mean, the virtual background is a whole other thing as well. On that note, some people get caught up in what their backdrop is, and I was one of those people when I was doing all the webinars. But ultimately, just keep your background fairly plain or succinct. Like I, you know, I just have some drawers and it's obviously my desk. I was tossing up, do I need to have banners? Yes, if you have a pull-up banner, doesn't hurt to have that in the background. I have some nice pictures. You obviously don't want a cluttered background, but I personally don't like the virtual backgrounds because I move my hands a lot. And unless you have an absolutely completely plain background, parts of you can disappear. And I know I've been distracted as an attendee or even just talking to other people, and they just suddenly, their hand disappears or their hair disappears. I find it distracting. So as the presenter, I want to limit any kind of distractions or as possible. So I've avoided any virtual backgrounds. I've just kept it as the back of my office. And that's worked fine. But you can do pull-up banners with your branding, or you might just have something plain, pretty, or even just a nice bit of fabric put up as well. I know people do, but don't get caught up on it. But that's basically what I want to talk about today. If you do have any further questions about running effective webinars, more than happy to chat about it with you offline. Just book in one of those free 30-minute discovery calls. But yes, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoy listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.